Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. Welcome to Yes But Why, episode 256, my talk with Austin improviser Shannon Dale Stott. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Today's episode of Yes But Why podcast is sponsored by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and your 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. Did you know Audible also has podcasts on there as well as books? Did you know that we are on there? It's true. Once you're signed up, you can listen to Yes But Why podcast right there alongside your murder mystery novels and historical fiction. Makes your life so much easier. So head on over to audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy right now and download that app. You'll get a free audiobook and access to hundreds of books and podcasts that are included with your membership. Don't put it off anymore. Get Audible. Yes But Why is also sponsored by PodcastCadet.com. My husband Chris and I run the company PodcastCadet.com. And the way that it works is we put all the money we make back into podcasting and learning everything we can about podcasting. At PodcastCadet.com, we want to help you with your podcast. We can give you a little push, or we can help you with the production of all of your podcast episodes. Connect with us now at podcastcadet.com. Use promo code YBY20 to let me know you heard this ad, and you'll get 20% off the first service or workshop you buy. This week on Yes But Why, listen in as I fangirl all over Austin improviser Shannon Dale Stott. I was a little starstruck talking to Shannon. I know her from Austin Improv over the years, and she has such star quality. Unsurprisingly, she put me at ease as soon as we connected, and that led to a really great talk. I now present to you Yes But Why, episode 256, Shannon Dale Stott on Following Your Curiosity. Enjoy. Amy Jordan, and this is Yes But Why podcast. Yeah. My first question to you is, what was the first time in your life when you felt like you did a performance or something theatrical that was the moment where you felt like, oh yeah, this is my jam?
Okay, that's great. So the actual first time I felt like that was, we were living in Nairobi, Kenya, and I was in high school, and the full story is, the nutty part was, I was walking on the beach in Mombasa. I was walking on the beach in Mombasa, and I was walking alone, and I turned this, I guess, corner or cove, and I was looking out into the beach, and I was like, wow, this is gorgeous. This is so pretty. And I kid you not, I heard a voice that was like, you should sculpt this. And I was like, wow, that voice has lost its mind, because I am not a sculptor and I don't know how to sculpt things. And I don't know what that even means. And for like days after leaving the beach, like, you should sculpt that. You should sculpt it. You should sculpt it. And I was like, man, this is it was the nuttiest. I would dream about this voice, and I would dream about this like space, and I would think about how to sculpt, because I didn't even know like where to get started. I was in high school, and it was like not in my realm of possibilities. And I went to English class one day, and English class was like, we're having a writing, a a writing contest and I want you to write this story, or I want you to write, we're having this writing contest. And I thought, oh, that's easy. I will win that writing contest. Like I had no doubt that I would win. And then I went through some days with like, but I don't know what I'm going to write. And then the two, like, you should sculpt this and this writing contest, like, merged in my head. And I understood that you don't have to, I guess, use Sculpey as it was in the ninth grade. Sculpey was, remember Sculpey? But like, you don't have to use Sculpey to sculpt. And I wrote this story, and I wrote this story about night and day and why we have night and day, this whole fable about the sun trying to marry the moon, and like it made a veil out of sea foam, and all the land animals that used to be land animals but now live in the sea were like, ooh, it's so beautiful, and they jumped in and it weighed down the veil, and she could never like catch the sun, or the sun could never catch the moon. And so they're always chasing each other, like trying to get married or something like that. And I wrote this thing, and I did this video. I wrote the story and I made this video that went with it. And back in that day, back in my day, if you wanted to edit videos and didn't know how, you took 8 VHS tapes and 8 VHS recorders, and you put tapes, and you had to chop tape. Anyway, it was a mess. But I did this whole thing until finally someone was like, I don't understand why, a friend of mine was like, why are you making this video when you could just recite the story? And I was like, right, because I like acting. I like a storyteller. Right, why don't I do that? So I did. So I finished writing the story. The time came where it was time to like do the contest. And instead of doing this, this video, I recited it. And I remember I had a dress made, and I spray painted the dress to look like the sun and the moon and all this stuff. And I recited and performed this thing, and it, you know, and there were tons of people there. And I remember that the process from you should sculpt this to the end of that, performing that speech or and that story, I have the, your question was so interesting, because, you know, I think that there are different questions that you could have asked, like, when's the first time you knew you were an actor? When's the first time you performed, like, as a kid or whatever? Like, you know, there's all the plays, there's all the stuff that you do as a child. But that moment, I think I really understood that the process from beginning to end and everything in between that is storytelling, and yeah, that is storytelling, is what I felt like. To answer your question, I was just like, this is it. This entirety, not just like the part where the applause and the people who were very, I mean, I was in high school, and so of course people were very like, that was amazing, you're amazing, God. That's what people sound like when they're in high school. And but that whole process really felt inspiring. I think about that story or that moment and series of moments a lot, like to this day, because I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever, not like that, not as clearly as that, had a progression of something other, like it felt like something other was like, here is some inspiration, you're so inspired, here is that inspiration and what you need to do with it, all the way to the very end where I felt like I delivered on that. I don't know if I felt like that. I've gotten pieces of it, but that was the very first time I felt like, ooh, this is it. This is what I do.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great story. Like A+ on that story, for real. Have you ever heard the voice again? Or was that just sort of your initiating voice? The muse
I think it was the initiating voice. I don't think I've ever heard that again. And I don't tell that story often because I'm always afraid, like, So side story, not even side story, but you know, when you hear people that you either admire or you're looking for the thing that like, how do I do this thing? And people say stuff that, and this, during this pandemic, this happened to me. I realized, cause there was a time during the pandemic where I was waking up just really early. I was waking up consistently. I think for about a month or two, just consistently waking up like at between 4 and 5 o'clock. And I was getting work done. I was just like, yeah, okay, I'm getting stuff done. I'm inspired. I'm writing, I'm doing all these things. And I thought to myself how interesting it was that that had never happened before and that it was happening now and something different must be happening. And then I thought, no, you know, those times when you're listening to people and they're telling you, well, I'm at fill in famous writer person here or artist person. And they're like, I get up every morning at 4 so I can do my craft. No, friend, you don't just get up every morning at 4. That is something that's happening to you. Like, it's like, yeah. Some people might be making a choice, but that, and so to like, to roll back into that story, I often hesitate telling people like that I heard this voice, which is true, but it wasn't a defining moment. Like, it just, that's just how it happened to me. Like, I just, for that particular thing at that particular time. And no, I haven't heard it again, but I think that the point, either whether it was because it was where I was in my life or whatever, but the point of that voice was sort of what you said, was like to yank me in, right? To like, to start. And like I was saying, I think I hesitate telling people that because it doesn't have to be a voice. You don't want to let people know or tell people like, just wait around for a voice or wait around till inspiration hits you and you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, just wait around until that happens to you. No, it's going to happen to you in completely different ways. You're going to be inspired in completely different ways. So yeah, no, it hasn't happened again. Thankfully, I don't even know, but it was because it was a very strange like sentence. You should sculpt this, like, because it was also wrong. That's the other part. It was completely wrong. Like, I was like, no, I shouldn't.
I feel like you did. I feel like you did sculpt it because like it, the clay was the writing contest and then like you didn't just write it. Like, you weren't just like, I wrote a story about some stuff. Done. Mm-hmm. You were like, okay, after I wrote it, then you wanted to find a way to perform it. You're trying to edit a video back in the day. That's sculpting, number one. Every movie made before a certain time is literal sculpture, right? And then after you make this video and you're like, hey, friend, what do you think? Does it look good? They're like, no, throw away that work you did. Instead, what you're going to do is you're going to perform it on stage. And then you didn't go, no, I'm going to play the video I made. You said, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. And you found a way to adjust the performance on the video to performing on stage. You did perform it on stage in front of many people. Some could say the sculpting was not this particular piece, but you.
I think that you're absolutely right. And it's important for people to hear that because the takeaway in there of me saying it was wrong and you saying it was different, you know, you took that and it was different. I think the curiosity part, I've been really bubbling or chewing on curiosity and what curiosity means. Had I heard that you should sculpt this and then said, that's wrong, And then not only is it wrong, but it's weird that I'm hearing voices and I need to go drink more water and get out of the sun or whatever. Like, instead of that, finding curiosity in it, like what does that mean? What can I do instead of sculpting, you know, with clay or whatever? What are the other things that I can do? And I bet that there are people out there who have sort of, I don't want to say visions or hear voices, but I'm sure that they are inspired in some way, or a question bubbles up inside of them that they throw away. And it's whatever it is, whatever that inspiration is coming to you in a different way. And it's asking you to pursue or to follow your curiosity, but instead of doing that, you're letting it go. So yeah, I think there's, or dismissing it, you're dismissing it. And I think that there is some power, or there's some traction there, just if listeners are like listening specifically, like how do I get inspired, or how do you find the inspiration, or the what was it in 20 or in, yeah, 2019 or 2018 or any time before, like 2020, there was like this follow your bliss mantra, you know, that was hanging out, and it was like, oh, but what's my bliss, or your, how do, I really, that was so annoying, but there is some curiosity in you, even if it's an annoying curiosity, like normal stuff, like why does this coffee mug always drip? I hate this coffee mug. Like, that's like,
yeah. Right?
Like, can you fix the coffee mug, or what is the curious thing around that that is inspiring to you? So
they say the necessity is the mother of invention, but I think it's like engaging with your curiosity, right?
Yeah.
If you're like, I wonder if this could work. If you follow that thread, that's mm-hmm. going to be something new, something exciting. You're going to mm-hmm. try something. You're going to learn something, not only about whether or not your hypothesis about this thing working a different mm-hmm. way is going to be okay, but then you also learn how you can use your own skills, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned that, like, clearly you had done theatrical stuff before. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't totally out of your wheelhouse to be doing a performance art piece, because if you're just like, you know, regular gal in school, going to classes, doing whatever, playing sports, and then all of a sudden one day you're like performing a performance art piece about like the parable of the sun and the moon, it's like people would be like, what is happening? You know? Right. But if you're like already a little theatrical mm-hmm. and you create this feels to me like sort of your close to adulthood collection of, like, by the way, these are skills that you have. Did you know that? Like, so when you did this piece, how did it propel you towards doing more creative stuff in the future?
Yes, man. So many ways, right? Because I'm just thinking of so many other different things. So right, I'll work from now sort of backwards. So right now, what I'm doing a lot of, because of us being inside, I'm doing a lot of video editing. Now I'm doing that video editing because I want to be, but I am recording improv tips and tricks and all of these things. And I'm trying to record people's conversations with me and that have to do with improv. And then I'm getting into this editing because that's how you release stuff, right? And all of that, when you do something, because it used to be that I would tape or film myself saying something, teaching a lesson, let's say, and I would film it maybe 20 times so that I could get one single take, so that I could put that single take out. Because I thought that's what I had to do. It didn't even dawn on me that I could just ramble and then cut out all my ums and cut out all the crappy crap that I said. It didn't even like dawn on me, but I had to go through a process to do that. And as I'm going through that process, I'm learning, oh, I can cut out these things, these ums. I can add music. I can add text. I can put schedule things to go out when I want them to go out. There are lots of things that I can do. And I think that that experience of going through writing, then trying to edit with three or four different VHS players, then performing for my friends, asking my mom to get a dress made, asking my art teacher, how does one spray paint a sunset? Like, what's the difference between a sunset and a sunrise? Are there different colors? What can I, as this person, like as a teenager, can I wear a dress like this? Is this what is the expectation of not winning, but performing this piece? I want the whole stage. Everyone else is standing behind a podium. I want lights. Like, can I do these things? And going through that process, then I think definitely set me up to be able to ask questions and to be able to research. Research and asking questions are big, right? Like, oh man, I'm watching this video and it needs something. Let me watch some other videos that are doing it better than I'm doing. Oh, I'm seeing text, I'm seeing edits, I'm seeing whatever it is I'm seeing. So I think that that really taught me to look at a project that I specifically am doing with some sort of critique and stay away from what other people are doing because they're not asking any questions, right? So that idea of, okay, Shannon, you're going to write this thing and we're going to have the contest. And the contest looks like this. It looks like you standing behind a podium and reciting and reading your paper. Okay, that sounds boring. Like, that sounds like I'm gonna lose. Like, that doesn't do anything with any of my skills. Standing behind a podium, that's nerve wracking. And also, no one's gonna see my fabulous dress behind this podium, right? So, right. But there is the asking questions or the butting up against what other people are doing. Because I think when people see my videos now, my videos aren't that great. I'll be honest. Like, they're, if you can look at other people's like YouTube videos, and I'm not a YouTube star, but I think that people are craving that stuff because I'm not seeing it done like I'm doing it anywhere else. As far as content goes, as far as like improv content goes. And I believe that that comes from sort of, that also stems out of that experience of this is how it's done. You're going to stand behind this podium, deliver your thing. This is how it's done. You read a book about improv and then you go find a 101 class. And no, there's nothing out there for you to research or to get any better in your spare time. And if there is, it's one guy talking to a camera and that's it. Or one person talking to a camera and that's sort of it. It's not for you. But that's how it's done. That's how it's done. Yeah. I think that experience definitely helped me sort of, what else can be done?
Can I just say that clearly what you're doing is right and working? Because, I mean, yes, you and I are currently in the same town, but let's be clear. I connected with you because I saw one of your videos posted by a friend of mine who lives in Norway. They were writing a blog post about a similar topic that you had done a video on. And at the end of their blog post, they included your video as additional material. That's about awesome. The idea of using different kinds of names and using your proper name wherever you're from. And it was about that. And I saw your video and I was like, are you kidding me right now? This person who's like in my town, who's like one of my AIC people, is being featured on like the blog post of like a guy who runs an improv festival out of Finland. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, what? I was so impressed with that. And like, sure, I've seen your name a bunch of times and been like, oh yeah, I should totally ask her to be on the show. But that was just like, oh man, what she's doing right now is getting out there. I want to see what's going on with her, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly what you're doing is good. And I know that you're all like, oh, there's stuff that's better than mine or whatever, but that's just based on your own like aesthetic of stuff. Because like, can I just tell you how many videos my husband watches where it's like, that's his favorite guy? And I'm like, this is terrible. Or like, or like, we'll watch something and it's like, who's the top rated person who gives advice on XYZ? And we watch it and we're like, what is that, trash in the background? Like, get out of here. Like, can you even hear him? Oh, God. You know, so there's just no... I mean, clearly I'm in theater and not in marketing. I just don't know what it is a person's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to follow that guy every day and listen to what he has to say. I'm all like, are we looking at the same situation? Like, this is not professional at all. You know, we all have our own, like, this is what right. my standards are for as a personal artist.
Absolutely.
And the world is now, everyone's an artist, right? Like, you and I have spent our lives doing these projects and developing stuff. And clearly you learned enough as you went along to move from VHS tapes to now you're on the computer doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But like some people are like not, you know, like some people send me photos of photos with their phones sometimes. And not like old ones. Like it's like, oh, it's a picture of me as a kid. All right, sure. This makes fun. You took this photo when, and you've printed it out, and then you took a photo of it with your phone and you sent it to me? I feel like that's triple time what you needed to do, right? And it's just because we all look at creating differently. We all put stuff out there. So I'm just going to counter your little, I don't know if I'm doing a good thing by telling you, yeah, you are. Clearly you're doing amazing. People internationally are checking your stuff out, and that matters. You know,
it does. It is good to hear. It's always good to hear because it's true. We all have a judgment on our own creative work. And I think what's helping me a lot when I first got started, I have people who said the same thing and who definitely said, look, you're not going to know if this works, because I was talking about it a lot. Like, what if I just put out content? What if? And I remember my friend Tosin said, yeah, if you keep talking about it, but you don't do it, it's never going to get done. Mm-hmm. But you can keep coming over here and talking about it if you'd like. And so friends like that and exactly what you're saying, it's like, just put it out. You can get better later. Like, but you can't get better without starting bad. You can't get better without starting. So yeah, I have really enjoyed this movement toward putting out content specifically about improv, because for me, and I, you know, we're jumping around here, but for me, improv is teaches us life. And so the other thing about that whole series, that whole thing that I did, high school to now, really what that at its base, yes, we're talking about being artistic, or we're talking about doing a project, but the thing is that you can take those, that set of moments, and sort of superimpose them on anything for me, but also for everyone, right? What is a thing that you're questioning, or what is something that interests you? How far are you willing to go, and how much digging are you willing to do to put that, whether it's an idea, whether it's a relationship, whether it is a communication, whether it's getting better at something, whether it's teaching somebody else to do something, all of that stuff, all of those things. How is it that you can move forward with curiosity to get better at becoming the person that you're trying to become?
Plus, I think that the things that you learned during the process of creating this particular piece, which I just realized, by the way, has now a new form. This piece is now a new form because now it's in storytelling form right now. Yeah. Like it's now another thing, which is, but to that end, everything in our life is like this, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to figure out how to reform everything in your life all the time. Yes. You know, like things never work the same way consistently. And believe you me, artists are not usually the crowd that's like trying to connect and make things safe and make things like consistent, right? Like the people who crave 9-to-5s who are like, I can't live unless I have health insurance and like a check every 2 weeks mm-hmm. are less likely to be in the artist realm because like your story, like this project, it ebbs and flows. It becomes different things. And you have to like the phrase kill your darlings of like what you thought you were making. Turns out you're not making it. Break it in half. Make a new thing. Right. Like, and I feel like that's everything about life. And in fact, I feel like that's definitely everything about right now in life where it's like, oh, did you think that your career was going a specific way? Oh, and was it going up? Was that the trajectory you thought it was doing? Okay, well, cool. We're just going to change what the entire industry is and nothing that you knew before works anymore. Okay, here's a new ball of clay, make it. And you're like, I don't, what do you mean? But because we have done this kind of stuff creatively oh. with like writing, we're here. With whatever, we are I'm able to do here. It. We are able to create a new life. We are resilient. the people that are working the 9-to-5 don't believe in, you know, the chance of it. Like freelance lifestyle is like the scariest thing they've ever thought of in their whole lives, mm-hmm. right? Whereas an artist has to live this sort of freelance lifestyle every moment of every day because everything that we do is like half created, half Frankenstein from two other projects, like mm-hmm. an idea that came from nowhere, or taking the word sculpt and deciding it means writing instead of sculpting, right? I mean, but that's just life. Like, it's like when somebody gives you advice and you're like, and it resonates with you, but it sounds like, I don't know why, how I'm going to take that, but I hear it and it feels good. I just don't know how to move forward with it, right? So you had mentioned that improv teaches us life, right? That was mm-hmm. the thing that I wrote down that you said, which was totally on point. And I feel like it is similar to this idea of creation, this idea of collaboration, this idea of allowing something to fail and yeah. just embracing whatever that is and trying to turn it into something new. So I guess I will bring us into improv by asking you, how did you get involved in it? And what was your, like, how did you get started? And then like, how have you embraced it in your life?
I had the regular old, mom, dad, I'm going to be an artist and I'm going to be a theater major. And they were like, absolutely not. You're going to go and you're going to become something, you know, respectable. Like, okay. So I tried to be respectable and in many different ways. And it never happened. And I hung around the artist community. So I went to college at VCU. And what I did was I just hung around VCU, really. And the VCU artist theater program, excuse me. So I hung around, I saw an audition for Comedy Sports Richmond. I auditioned and I got in. So that's the short version of that. The other part of that is I've always been gregarious and fun. You know, I was the bane of every teacher's existence in class, right? I talked too much. I joked too much. I wasn't paying attention. I wanted attention from the wrong people, not the teacher, anyone else, you know, things like that. When I moved to Kenya, like when I got into high school, I remember I read a book and somebody recently was like, it was this book. And I was like, yes, that's the book I read. And I don't know what it was called, but I read this improv book. And I thought, is this improv? this is amazing. So I'll start an improv troupe. So the first improv troupe I actually started was in high school, not actually knowing what I was starting.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, there is a lot of that. That failed because my parents were like, you can't do improv and have bad grades. One of them has to go. You know, well, that just didn't happen. So those are like the little speckles of how I got started. And when I actually started in with Richmond, Virginia with Comedy Sports, I don't think I knew at the time what the impact would be. But when I look back, I really realize that I was in a space that helped me to hone all the stuff that was annoying my teachers. You know, like I enjoyed making characters. I enjoyed making characters. I enjoyed becoming different people. I enjoyed making people laugh. I enjoyed those things. But to merge improv and life for me, I think that the words that someone would use is third culture kid, right? So most of my childhood, I spent in a whole bunch of different places, just traveling through Europe, traveling through Africa, picking up and moving every 2 years. Not really, you know, my dad traveled. So he was home sometimes. Sometimes he was gone for a year or two, and then he'd come back. And my mom was also traveling. We're trying to make friends as children. And we, my sister and myself, our family in general, but, and me, the royal we, you know, are trying to make friends with different people from different countries, from different cultures, from with different languages, with different ideas of how women move through the world, with different ideas of how you respect and talk to men. And as a young person, I have to be able to navigate those things quickly, very quickly, especially like in high school and middle school. You're trying to navigate those things so fast. And as an adult, you start to realize this is difficult. Like, this is actually a difficult thing. Some people become very reserved or quiet because they have to do those things. And I realized that improv was teaching me that the things that I was already doing naturally had a place on stage, but also could be honed with intention, right? And I think that was very big, learning to be aware of my surroundings. This is something that comes natural to me, right? I have to know, am I in a space where I don't look men in the eye? Am I in a space where I take my shoes off before I go inside? Am I in a space where the women sit in a different space than the men? So I need to know how to get there. What are the children being like the people around me? What are we listening to? Are we listening to American gangster rap? Is that what's cool? Is weird, or is Weird Al Yankovic cool in this particular setting? Or is Paul Simon cool in this particular setting? Where am I? And you don't know that you're doing that. But once I took improv classes, those things come directly into play. What is on my scene partner's face? What is that? Is it joy? Is it sadness? Are they Rumpelstiltskin? Are they a giraffe? Where are we? Are we at the beach? Some of these things are given to us by suggestions, but what beach? Are we at a nude beach? Are we at a coastal beach? Are we at a lake beach? Like, where are we? What are the signals that I'm getting? And if you're taught by good teachers, you can, and you've never had, like, I've never, if I had never had that experience of moving around and having to navigate those signals and culture cues and all of those things, I realized that you can still learn those things from improv. You can still learn them. You can take all of those things that you're learning as far as character, space work, storytelling, environment, that for the stage, and apply them to your job, your relationships, your work, your life.
Totally. Yeah. Oh man, you know, I had read a thing in my short-term Google stalking of you. I had read for sure that there was, you know, part of your teaching had to do with, you know, paying attention to your scene partners and looking for small cues. And I was like, oh, we're gonna get along because this is essentially the bread and butter of my level one class. So like whenever I teach level one, for me, the most important thing to teach the students alongside whatever particular, because I've taught for different schools and everybody has a different, like, this is what we teach them to start. Cool. But first, what they need to know is this art form is variable every time you do it. It's not going to be the same. It's not like I'm going to teach you, okay, this is what you do, and then you do that all the time. You need to get to know the people that are in your team and study them. And once you know all of them, it's like you didn't know what colors were in your paint palette, and you have to get to know those colors. And then once you know what those colors do, you're able to use them to create art with, right? And so I'm always talking about that, so I'm so glad it came up. Because it's like so interesting to me. Did it, now you seem so like present in mind about your whole journey, and I feel based on your references that we're close in age. But like and so I understand I'm 42 and I'm very much like reflecting upon the world and I understand my journey and I have thoughts about what 20-year-old Amy did now. And it's like, you know, just the way you do, you know, you've reframed your story. Did you, when you started improv, did you like, were you aware, like, oh my gosh, these things that I've done over and over to adjust to every new social scene I've been part of are part of this? Or is that like after years of doing improv and reflecting upon your life as adults, as we all do, did you bring that together?
Yeah, I think it was more the latter. And honestly, I think it was the latter because I was unaware of what I was going through as a young adult. You know, as I guess we men as many people as many young adults are. Many, I don't want to say all young adults. Some young adults are very aware of themselves and whatnot. But I think innately I understood that there was something similar. Sort of like if we go back to, you were saying if we go back to this voice in my head telling me to sculpt and then not sculpting but sculpting in a different way, I think that's sort of apropos to this particular scenario where I was in improv, I'm doing improv, and there was something innately that I was like, I've done this before. So there's something I've done that's like this, and but I don't know what I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know why it was coming so easily, but I really think that it came very easily, and it was because I had had all of these experiences. And then, yes, later in life, I definitely have been looking back and thinking and watching, and especially when you watch other people, when because you said you teach, right? So when you watch other people do improv that you're teaching, that when you see that, you're like, it's very much, it's easier to see what it is that you're experiencing because you're teaching it, right? You're like,
Oh
oh, it's coming out of myself. Or they're doing it or whatever it is. So
yeah.
yeah, it was definitely later that I put sort of a stamp on it and am very much aware of what it was that I was going through, or have been through. But yeah, I don't think I was savvy enough as a young adult to put those things together very quickly into starting my improv journey. But looking back, I definitely have been.
So I have one last question for you, and I feel like we talked a little bit about it, but what's your jam right now? Like, what's the thing that's exciting you creatively? And I know that we've talked about your YouTube videos and what you're putting out. And if that's it, let's talk about it. But also, like, just, you know, what what has been recently inspiring you? What is the thing that's like, you know, in your head? And you don't have to give me any secrets. you know, you don't have to give anything away. But, you know, just like what's exciting you right now? Like what in your current creative career at the moment in your life right now is like exciting you?
I'm telling you, it's virtual improv. I didn't think it was going to be, but it is. And when I say virtual improv, I don't care where I'm doing improv. It could be underwater. Like, I love improv. It doesn't matter if it's virtual or on stage or in space or wherever it is. I love that. The thing that's exciting me about, specifically about virtual improv, is seeing people really break out of the idea that they have to use the four lines of the box on Zoom in order to create scenes. I'm loving people that are bringing in live musicians, that are bringing in technology, that are using props, that are doing dramatic improv, that are using their cameras to the best of their ability, you know, with filters or with OBS or with just bringing the camera closer, going outside, I did a set with a friend where he went into his backyard and built a fire, and I went into my backyard and tried to set up lights like I was at a fire, because, you know, we can't be together. So we're doing this set like we're at the same fire. And it was a beautiful set. Like, it was just so nice to be two people in the same place and try very hard to connect through that and let an audience see, try to help them suspend disbelief, right? In real time, without a green screen, you know? And even people who are using green screens, more props to you, all of those things. Just people who are really seeing, who are following exactly what we've talked about this whole time, which is their curiosity, right? Asking that question, I wonder if I can. And the basic question is, do improv on Zoom? Great. But then the next question is, I wonder if I can make my sound better. How do I make my video better? How do I show people? How do I bring more people? How do I bring less people? How do I recreate the feeling? What is it internally on a live stage that I'm missing that I can bring to a Zoom or a virtual stage? Because you're going to miss the physical things, right? You're going to miss the lights and the people clapping right there. And you're going to miss all those things. But what is it internally that you're looking for? And how can you create that here? And the people who are following that and experimenting with that and really projecting that feeling and finding it in a virtual world, that's what's super exciting to me right now.
Yeah, I like it. I like that it's not just even virtual improv. It's like, you know, ingenuity when it comes to how you're going to perform it. And like, it's a limitation that's actually opened all of our minds.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we thought it was going to be something that was like, oh man, now I can't do this. Yeah, but you can do a million other things.
Yeah.
And you guys can be across the world from each other and have this like great intimate scene, or like you can be in space and it's way more believable like this, right? Than if we're, you know, standing on stage and you're like, like there's so much more suspending of disbelief when you're standing on like a wooden slat stage there is when you're like on a computer screen. It's like, I'll believe anything in the computer.
I'll just believe anything. Just put it back there. Yeah.
Right? Why not?
I'm loving that. You said ingenuity. Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday, I teach a virtual improv class to 8-year-olds. And yesterday, they were really obsessed with their like backgrounds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's not do that today. But I will make a note that next week, we will create scenes using your backgrounds. Like, you pick a background, and then all of us have to do a scene together with that as our inspiration, right? And so they were like, oh, okay. So it's like, yeah, they're messing around. And I'm like, hey, could you stop changing your background every 13 seconds? That'd be cool.
I can't.
But then it's like, all right, well, hey, if that's what you want to do. I'm always like, well, what do you like? And they're like, I want to do this, this, and this. And then I write those things down and then figure out how to turn them into improv exercises, right?
Isn't that
So I'm
great?
like,
That's great.
great. But it's also like, I feel like safer and more intimate when you do virtual improv. Like, number one, it's safer because we're all physically separate. We're safer from COVID, but we're also safer from like a lot of the things that were an issue on stages, you know, like physical proximity, messing with each other, adults being inappropriate with each other, and then also with children. It's like, it's like, I hope your parents love me. I'm in a room so far away. Like, I'm just here on sitting at a desk. Like, we're having a great time. And the best part about these classes is I have a recording that I then send to the parents. You worried about what it's like? Watch it.
Yeah.
It's like me being like, what's going on? You got weird hair today. That looks fun. Cool. Let's have a weird hair thing. And I mess my hair up. You know, I mean, whatever.
It's great. Yeah. It's
also
great.
The interesting thing about COVID is it has both improved our necessity to project. Right. When I'm wearing that mask, I really have to use my projecting voice, my onstage voice, to talk to people. Right. And I'm all like, yeah, super glad I have this skill. But now that I'm doing virtual improv, I'm actually improving my own possible film work because now I have to talk quieter and I can get real close to the camera, you know, be serious. Like, my favorite part about doing film at any point in my life was the idea that A, the camera is way too close to me. And me and the other person, like, I'm always mad when people are whispering in movies, but it's because they're so close. They're like so close. And you can't tell that from the angle of the camera. You're all like, they're like across the room from each other. And I was like, they're touching. I guarantee. Like, they set up a camera in like a corner of a room and you and the other person are like, yes, let's have this serious discussion very close to each other. And it's a ridiculous situation. But now that I'm doing virtual improv and I'm literally, so I'm interacting with like this tiny little space around my desk and this person and you're on the screen. So I want to be like, let's get closer. What are we talking about? You know, there's something great about that. And also, I'm like learning that skill because I have to do it. It works better, right? I've definitely noticed in recording these things that I'm still projecting. And so I always have to even myself down because I'm loud, but I'm working on it, right? So that virtual improv is not just good for ideas and creative stuff. It's like helping us with real skills that we like need.
It is. It's challenging us. I'm the same way. I have a partner, Jen Pina, and we're doing a doors experiment. And we do this show where she is up against a door. I am up against a door. And it's an intimate show, right? It feels intimate. And it is intimate because it's just the two of us. We're learning how to, in that very small space with just those ideas, how to project, but our emotions, you know, how do you act when you don't have to like act to the back of the room, you know, like everyone can see up your nose. How do you do that? How? And we're learning it. And it's awesome. It's lots of, you're right. It's teaching us more than we think.
I feel like that's kind of the overall lesson of this entire discussion. Like, I feel like that's pretty much what we've realized as we've chatted through. Yeah. You know, all that we've talked about is the idea of process, the idea of it being a full journey that sometimes we get in the moment. Sometimes we don't get it until later when we can reflect upon it. But the idea of, you know, being okay with all of that. Like, if you're in the moment and you're like, why is this happening? I don't get it. I'm always like, it'll reveal itself.
Yeah.
Like, even 2020 and all this insanity and everything, I'm like, something about the culture required this to happen. The earth. And it wasn't just like, you know, the US where it happened.
Right. No.
The whole earth.
The whole world, the earth. Yeah.
And so the idea of that, what that meant culturally to every group, what it inspired, what it made us deal with, All of us being on the internet together has allowed us to see things in other places that we didn't realize were happening, to connect ideas where it's like, hey, in your country, they're doing this. In our country, we're doing this. They're very similar. We should discuss how to make this better. In a real, like, hey, maybe we should work together as opposed to constantly discussing war kind of way.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I feel like, listen, I feel like we solved everything. And this is a great conversation. I agree. Thank you, Shannon, so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you.
I loved this. I love talking shop.
Oh, so fun. All right, great.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.